Okay, so the in this week's parsha, we read about the various korbanos that are brought, and I want to focus on Perek Daled, the fourth chapter. And in the fourth chapter, the Torah describes the various situations when different categories of individuals bring sin offerings for the sins they commit. So I have here, I think you can see hopefully in Sefaria, just we do it very quickly, right? Perek Daled, Pasuk Aleph, Beis. So what's the Pasuk Gimel? Who's the first one? The Kohen HaMashiach. The first person who has to bring, it discusses bringing a korban, is the Kohen, the Kohen Gadol who sins. And then the next category, just very quickly, is Im Kol Adas Yisrael Yishku, if the whole community of Klal Yisrael sins. And this refers to the Sanhedrin, if the Sanhedrin sins, okay, and that's sort of the second category. And then the Torah introduces, we move now down to Pasuk Chav Beis, Asher Nasi Yecheta, the Nasi sins, okay? Yeah, hello? Okay. And again, what's the obvious difference in the introduction between the first two categories and the last? Right? What's the language? Im HaKohen HaMashiach Yecheta, right? Im Kol Adas Yisrael Yishku, if they sin. But what does it say about the Nasi? Asher Nasi Yechta. Some of us are familiar with Rashi's explanation of this, but we'll get to it at the end of this year. So we have this contrast between, it seems that when it comes to the, hello? By the way, so again, if you have a comment, please feel free to make a comment. If you don't, then please mute yourself. Okay. Now, but if you have a comment, please feel free to speak up. So we have this term that says im, if, meaning it's not for sure that the Kohen Gadol will sin, it's not for sure that the Sanhedrin will sin, but it seems that definitely the Nasi, the political leader, will sin. Okay? So the truth is that the word im occasionally means it will definitely happen. There's a Mechilta, the Rabbi Yishmael, which is the very first source here, where Rabbi Yishmael says in the very first line here, Kol im ve'im shebetorah reshus chutz mishlosha. Wherever the Torah says im, it means it's an option. It will not certainly happen. And there are three exceptions to that. One is bringing a minchas bikurim, a first fruit offering. One is lending someone money. That's an obligation in the language of im. And there's a third also about im is building an altar of stones. Again, it's an interesting question why the Torah uses the word im for these three cases when it means obligatory. But the purpose of this mechilta is to tell you, whenever the Torah says im, it means an option. There's an option. If you decide to bring this mizbeach, if you decide to do this, if you decide to do that. But when the Torah says, presumably asher, means that it definitely will happen. So that kind of, again, reinforces the question, why, with respect to the first two categories of leaders, the Kohen HaMashiach and the Sanhedrin, Adas Yisrael, that says im, versus the Nasi who says asher. Now, let's just focus a bit on the, if you look here in the Ibn Ezra, when the Eidah, I'm telling you, when it says im kol Adas Yisrael yishku, when all the Adas Yisrael make a mistake, so Ibn Ezra says in a different context, kol ha'Eidah refers to the leaders, the Gedolei Yisrael, and Rabbeinu Bechaye explains that im kol Adas Yisrael yishku, elu Sanhedrin. Question is, why do we assume that Adas Yisrael means the Sanhedrin? Why doesn't it mean that everyone sinned. In other words, again, the Torah gives three examples of someone who sins. The Kohen HaMashiach, Kol Adat Yisrael, and then the Nasi. Why do the commentaries, the Mefarshim, understand that Adas Yisrael refers to the Sanhedrin? And the Rabbeinu Bachai says, here, Ki efshar shekol Yisrael yaskivu b'chein. It's impossible, he's saying, it's impossible that all of Klal Yisrael would sin. That's what he's saying. And therefore, what must it mean? It says, Me'ene ha'eda. The Torah says, if Me'ene ha'eda, Ki asanhedrin v'anevi'im v'chom hein Me'ene ha'eda. So the Torah actually refers to that im yishku me'ene ha'eda, that the sin was hidden from the eyes of the Eda. Who are the eyes of the congregation? The Sanhedrin, the leaders. So therefore, Rabbeinu Bachai says, Kol Adas Yisrael, this refers to Beis Din. At other times, Eda refers to Beis Din. So that's why we assume that the situation of bringing a korban chat as a sin offering with Adas Yisrael, where the whole nation sins, when would the whole nation sin? They would sin if who? If the leaders, the judges, made a mistake. What's fascinating here is that how would the leaders, how would the judges discover that they made a mistake? Like, what's the case here? Im kol adas yisrael yishku. What happened? All of the leaders, presumably the Sanhedrin, told the Jewish people, you should follow this halacha. And then what happened then? What happened after that? Like, now there's, what happened? What would lead to this? What would lead to kol adas yisrael yishku? What would happen?
Can you catch me up a little bit?
Yeah, I'm just.
You have the wrong meeting code on the last email.
Okay. So my question is, in kol adas Yisrael yishku, okay, in kol adas Yisrael yishku. So this talks about the Sanhedrin, and then if they make a mistake, then they bring a korban. I'm trying to ask the following question. How would they find out that they made the mistake? Who would tell them? Like, what would happen?
Maybe they followed the majority vote. There was a vote, and it was a majority vote, but they came to the wrong conclusion.
Okay, so they came to, and then who would tell them? And who would tell them?
Good question. A little kid.
No, so who would tell? What happened, presumably? They made a ruling, and then what happened? In other words, they had the intellectual honesty. They had the intellectual honesty to say, we were wrong, we were mistaken. That's presumably what happened. In other words, the first case, the Kohen Gadol makes his mistake. This case is where the Sanhedrin issues a ruling, and then somehow they have the courage, because it's not easy for leaders to admit mistakes. Okay, I'm not getting political or anything. I'm saying that in general, it's not easy for judges to you have to have intellectual honesty. If you're the smartest person in the room, you could always convince other people that you were right. So here the judges are supposedly the smartest people in the room, and they could, you know, say, this is what we think the halacha is. You know, we're right, you're wrong, we're the Supreme Court justice in the land, I don't care what you have to say. So they have to have the intellectual honesty to admit that they were wrong. And what's fascinating, I just want to point out why this is fascinating, because, in my view, because there's a very famous Ramban in Parsha Shoftim where the Torah tells us that you should do asisa kol api adavar shegil lecha min hamakom ahu asher yivchar Hashem v'shamarta lasos kachol sheyaruha, that when you go to the judges, you have to do whatever they tell you to do. And the Torah says in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Al pi haTorah sheyaruchah v'al mishpatah sheyomer lecha taseh, lo tasur min hadavar sheyagidu lecha yamin u'smol. That by the word of the Torah that they teach you, and the judgment that they tell you, do not deviate from what they tell you, right or left. And what does it mean, right or left? And the Ramban points out, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says that even if you think that they are wrong, and you're convinced that they're wrong, nevertheless, you have to do this. And why do you have to do this? So here the Ramban says, "Vatzorach b'mitzvah azos gadol meod." This is very important. Ki haTorah nitna lanu b'chtav. The Torah is given to us in writing. V'yaduahu, and it was known to us, Shelo yishtavu adeyas b'chol drem hanoladim. People have different opinions. V'ne yirbu amachlokos v'tasa torah, kama torahs. You can have different torahs, different laws. V'chatach lanu akasav adin, shenishma lebeisin agara omei lifnei Hashem. You have to listen to the high court. Whatever they tell you. V'chol mash yirmu lanu b'feirish haTorah. Right? And it says, afilu yiya beinecha kamach lifyumi b'smol. Even if you think they're changing right with left, you need to think that the right is the right. You have to believe that God would not lead them astray. In other words, even if you think they're 100% wrong, you have to defer to them 100%. So now, I just want to make this clear. What happens here is the following. The rabbis, the Sanhedrin, made a ruling, and we have a responsibility as citizens. No, even if we think they're wrong, we are mevatel ardas, we nullify our own, we surrender our own judgment, our own intellect, to the will of the high court that is necessary for structural purposes. You could debate that, whether it's appropriate or not appropriate. It's the feeling is that hopefully the people who are the leading judges are people of high moral and ethical character. But, so my point is that in kol adas yisrael yishku, means what? That the whole society followed the judges because they have to. They're not allowed to deviate right or left. And it must be that the Sanhedrin, the judicial leaders, had the intellectual courage to basically say, you know what? We could be wrong. We could be wrong. That's what it comes to the judicial leadership. That's how the Torah views the judicial leadership. When it comes to the judicial leadership, hopefully you have scholars, you have rabbinic leaders who hopefully have our, again, in the Torah world, to be a Torah scholar, to be a great rabbi, I'm saying a posek. It's not only about intellect, it's also about moral compunction. It's about someone who's willing to admit his mistakes if he makes mistakes. And only those Torah leaders can be the judges, and therefore it's not for sure they're going to make a mistake, because it's not for sure they're necessarily going to make a mistake, because they are scholars, but they might make a mistake, and we are saying that they have the intellectual capability and the intellectual honesty to admit their mistake. And that's not, by the way, that's not how we view the political leaders. What's fascinating is, by the political leaders, what does it say? It says asher. Why does it say asher? So many of us know, right? What's asher mean? Asher seems to mean it will definitely happen. What?
It will happen.
It will happen, right. I just want to point out that Ibn Ezra does say that he translates this in Pasuk Chavez, that Asher is really a continuation of the previous section. And he does translate Asher to mean if as well. So he doesn't only do that. And,
Rabbi,
and,
is there a difference between, you said, judicial leaders and, let's say, halachic leaders?
No, so
how do you put together the story with Rabbi Eliezer and Yom Kippur, where he had a difference of opinion as to what the Yom Kippur
right. Rabbi Yoshua, the Ramban quotes this in Devarim Yud Zayin Yud Aleph, that Rabbi Yoshua basically, he submitted his will to Rabbi Gamliel on Yom Kippur because he followed him. That's exactly this point, that you surrender to the will of the whatever the established leadership is.
So only when he threatened him with Cherem, didn't he?
No. The reason why Rabbi Gamliel was put in Cherem, or no, Rabbi Gamliel just embarrassed Rabbi Yoshua, and he just embarrassed him. But he felt very strongly about having one standard. My point of this, we can debate that point. My point is that we see that the situation of making a mistake is when that people aren't generally going to come to the judges that you made a mistake, because they're required to listen.
But Rabbi, the Nasi is generally very different than the Beis Din or the Kohen in that he is not bound by Torah for everything. He's political.
Right.
So the Sanhedrin or the Nasi have the Torah. The laws are there. The Nasi is in a political field, so there's no real right and wrong.
Right. No, I'm agreeing with you. So I want to try to develop that idea a little bit. So right. So the Nasi's. So my point that I want to make first is it's not necessarily going to everyone. Ibn Ezra does translate it as Asher as if. And Rabbeinu Bachaye explains that now. So, but now you have Rabbeinu Bachaye wants to say that he says, you know, why he says maybe Asher means im. O efshar lomar shu loshon vadai. That maybe no, it's not a lashon im, it's a lashon vade, it's a lashon of certainty. Velozelo nichtav im nasi yachta. That's why it doesn't say if the nasi sins, like it says im hakohen hamashiach yachta. Rather, what does it say? Im kol adas Yisrael yishku. Why it say vim kol adas? Ki hakohen hagadol nizhar min hachet. Because the kohen gadol is warned from sin more. Lefiche ene kol yisrael tuluyos alav bein liyan tzarche gufa manazonosam ve'im bein liyan kaparos nafshosa. He said kohen gadol, he's a spiritual leader, ideally. Obviously, there were some kohen gadol who weren't so great, that the eyes of all the people really are hanging on him for all their needs. And also the Sanhedrin are also, you know, they're supposed to be warned from sin because there's a Ruach HaKodesh, additional Ruach HaKodesh on them. And therefore, he mentions their sin in the language of Suffolk. However, by the Nasi, it mentions the sin in a Lashon of Vadai, certainty. Why? Lefisha Nasi Libo Gasmaod. When it comes to the Nasi, his heart is, like, he's very arrogant. Midas Agaiva Shisiba Sachet Mitsuya Imo Lagoda Memchalto. If you're a Nasi, you have a lot of arrogance, potentially. It's not necessarily that you're an arrogant person because you're a Nasi. But I'm sorry, it's not that you're an arrogant person, necessarily, and therefore you became a Nasi, but just that it could be that just the whole institution of being the leader, the political leader, could lead to gaiva, could lead to arrogance. And therefore the Torah says, and that's why the Torah says, that basically it's Asher, it's definitely going to happen. He's definitely going to make a mistake.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why by the Kohen HaMashiach it's L'Ashmas Ha'am, and by the Nasi it's not L'Ashmas Ha'am?
The Nasi, yeah. So it seems to me, that the Kohen Gadol is probably like responsible for the people a little more, as a, like on a spiritual level. The Nasi is more of, the Nasi could be like a political mistake for himself. The Kohen Gadol is really responsible for the spiritual well-being of his people. Maybe that's what hints at L'Ashmas Ha'am. Obviously the prince has to, Nasi, the political leader has to care about their physical well-being. But in terms of the spiritual well-being, that really hinges on, I think, the Kohen Gadol more than the Nasi. So the Sfarad also writes, Shir Nasi Yachta. This is a davar matsui. This is common. So we see from here, what's interesting is that, we see from here that the Nasi is someone who basically is going to be very arrogant.
And wasn't the Nasi part of the Sanhedrin anyway?
There was a Nasi and an Av Beis Din, correct. My point is that, yeah, that was in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash. I don't know if that's necessarily always the case, right?
But how's the Nasi and the Melech? What's the difference between them? Is there a difference?
No, the Nasi can be a Melech or Shulchan also.
Right, The Nasi is the political leader. The Nasi is the political leader. Happened to be in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, or the end, you had the house of Hillel, so he was the political leader and the religious leader. But it wasn't always necessarily the case.
Nasi is never the Navi or the Kohen.
Right.
But the Nasi in the Torah, is that the Melech?
I think it's any political leader. I think it's any political leader. So what's interesting is that we could finish this year and I could conclude, therefore, don't be a Nasi, right? Because it's just going to lead to arrogance. You're definitely going to sin if you're a Nasi. So, in other words, maybe you should run away from positions of leadership because we will inevitably make a mistake. That's what the Torah is telling you. If you take a position of leadership, let's say political leadership, you will make mistakes. So why do it? So I once heard Rav Zvulun Charlap, used to be the Dean of Reitz, and he once quoted the Gemara in Baba Basra, where he says, there were four people who died, Be'etchel Shel Nachash. What does that mean? Basically, because of the original sin. In other words, they shouldn't have died.
Binyamin?
What?
Binyamin? Binyamin, Kilav, Yishai, and I remember the fourth one.
Right, Amram, it's right here. Do you see the source sheet? Do you see the source sheet? Or I don't, maybe you don't see
it. No.
Does anyone see the source sheet here?
I can see it.
Okay, so I did see it. Okay, so I don't know. Maybe it's a phone.
I see it too.
Okay.
I can see it.
Okay. So it's here, but okay. So the four we got. So we got Evan, got Binyamin, Yishai, Kilav, and the fourth is Amram. So what Rav Chalap said is that what's interesting. It doesn't say Binyamin, Amram, Yishai, and Kilav. It says Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Yishai Avi David, Kilav ben David. And some of them mention their father, and some of them mention their son. And he asks, why does Gemara mention each of these righteous people together with their relatives? Why can't you? We know who Binyamin is, right? We know who Amram is. Why do you have to say Amram, Avi Moshe, Binyamin, Ben Yaakov? And he answered, the Gemara is hinting that although these four did not sin, nevertheless, their relative that is mentioned is greater than them. Yaakov was greater than Binyamin. Moshe was greater than Amram. David was greater than Yishai or Kilav. In other words, they were greater than their relative who did not sin. And you can ask, how could that be? How could that be? They did not sin. So the answer, said Rav Chalap, is that maybe Moshe, Yaakov, and David were, you know, they were leaders of Klal Yisrael. They made mistakes. But just because Asher Nasi Yachta, just because mistakes in leadership are inevitable, you should not run from leadership. Because that is when true greatness emerges. At the same
aren't leaders put to a greater test, so to speak?
Correct.
Don't they have a higher standard?
Whistle thinking, man.
What?
Thank you, Mr.
No, they are put at a high standard. They are put at a high standard. And they're going to make a mistake. But
yeah, therefore the chances of making a mistake are much higher.
100%. The whole notion of being a leader, but the point here, the whole notion of being a leader is that it leads to arrogance. Because you are a leader. You think you're something. Right, and then so you will typically make, they're more likely to make a mistake. But nevertheless, the Gemara in Bava Basra is telling us, don't use that to run away from leadership. Just because you're going to make mistakes, don't run away from leadership. Try to avoid mistakes. But if you have kochos, you have abilities to lead, then don't run away from leadership. Now, at the same time, the Tosefta, this is the famous Rashi, this is a Tosefta which Rashi cites, which is Asher Nasi Yachta. What's Asher? So why is Lashon of Asher? He says Lashon Ashrei. Ashrei Ador Shanasi Shalom. Those say Lev Lahavi Kapara Al Shigigaso. Happy is the generation that the Nasi gives heart to bring atonement for his mistake, for his unintentional sin. Okay? So in other words, the Tosefta that's cited by Rashi is saying, happy is the generation when political leaders sin and bring sin offering. The question is, what does that mean? Wouldn't we rather that our political leaders not sin? Wouldn't we rather that our political leaders not err? So the question is, when does one bring a sin offering? So if you intentionally sin, then a sin offering is insufficient. If you commit a sin, but made it intentionally, then you don't bring a sin offering because that's not enough. Let's say you commit a sin be'odes, an unavoidable circumstance. Then you also don't have to bring a sin offering. When do you bring a korban chata, like a sin offering, a chatas type? So that is only if you're negligent. If you could have done better with more due diligence and a greater sense of responsibility. Perhaps if we combine the Tosefta with the Sephardo, we can conclude that even though mistakes are inevitable, one of the key factors in determining the greatness of a leader is how he will respond. We know that political leaders constantly try to please their constituencies and will make promises that they have no intention of keeping, and I'm speaking generally. And they will act in ways that please political allies and not necessarily always do what is just and proper. And eventually, because a political leader is such a high level, they may think that they can do no wrong. As such, a political leader may never fully admit that he is sorry. The Tosefta therefore tells us that happy is the generation when the leader can say, I'm sorry or I made a mistake. Because by combining the Sephardo's explanation with that of the Tosefta, we understand that leadership that we so desperately need in the world is one that is not afraid of making mistakes, that realizes that he or she has certain abilities and is willing to take on a leadership role, not afraid of making mistakes, that's aware that mistakes are inevitable, but at the same time, it requires an awareness that we must not, and I'm sorry, and this must not cause us to refrain from taking bold action when necessary, but at the same token, by the same token, it means that when we do make mistakes, and we will make mistakes, we must be willing to admit those mistakes. It takes a strong leader to have the courage to be a leader, to have the courage to take action when it will almost likely lead to mistakes, and then at the same time to admit when those mistakes are made. It's much easier.
Rabbi, you're contrasting David and Saul.
Right. David made mistakes and he admitted 100%. I think in the beginning we spoke about the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Gadol and the Sanhedrin, spiritual leaders. Again, in the ideal world, a spiritual leader hopefully are individuals who hopefully are worth their salt, and it's not inherent. It's not inherent in the position of being a judge. It's challenging, but it's not inherent. Position of being a religious judge or a Kohen Gadol to let the power get to your head. Unfortunately, we failed in that, and it did. But the Torah is telling us that the power will definitely get to your head. You definitely will make mistakes when it comes to a political leader. But if you have the power to do so, do it. Don't do it. Try to avoid mistakes, but make sure that you admit when you make mistakes.
Thinking also that a mistake, helps you the next time.